Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Kellen Vargelon.
I'm DM.
Oh boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We're Christmas horroring it up, and let's just say that doesn't always go great. No matter how much you want it to go great, sometimes it just doesn't.
It's true.
You know what? We'll get there. First, some random crap to tide you over. I want to make a video game recommendation yet again.
All right.
I think people should check out 1111. It's a video game about World War I.
You know, it's so weird.
What?
Today, our recording date is 12/12.
That is weird.
And I like looked at the computer earlier today and saw the date. It's like 12/12. I'm like, I remember those movies, 11/11, 12/12.
12/12, 13/13.
13/13 really squandered that opportunity.
It did. I remember we watched 12/12, and it's possible it came up on the show or maybe just afterwards, and you started explaining to me the concept of how a 13th month exists in the Jewish calendar, and
well,
how you could do a great
lunar
thing.
Calendar will have a, yeah. We'll have a 13th month.
And how you could do a an interesting mythological thing about that, and how it would be really interesting. And instead, all we got was, oh, everyone went nuts and just started killing people.
Yeah.
Thanks, James Bressack.
James Cullen Bressack. Please and thank you.
No, I mean, he's done some good work. I liked that, what was that Blood Lake movie? Was that the one with the killer leeches
for
eels?
Oh, yeah, that's right. But we also liked the one with the doll that Zach Ward was in.
Yeah, Zach Ward was in both of those.
Okay.
But yes, we also liked the one with the doll. You're right. Ward was also the star of Blood Lake.
That's true.
Killer Eels.
So I guess what we're trying to say is when Zach Ward and James Cullen Bressack team up,
that's you know, good stuff.
It's a all favorable right. result.
But the movie, the game, to get slightly back to what I was saying, it's just a really good game about a Canadian guy who goes to war as a photographer and the experience of World War II at Vimy and Passchendaele. And there's a lot of plot twists. You play both as him and this German guy who goes off to war to look for his missing son, whose unit has disappeared. And I'm not going to spoil any of the plot because it has lots of great twists and turns, but it's very well done. And Elijah Wood plays a Canadian soldier.
Aww.
Yeah. And it's made by, are you ready for this?
No.
Aardman.
Who?
Aardman.
I don't know.
The Wallace and Gromit people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Wallace and Gromit people made this video game. So, I'm pretty psyched to... I enjoyed it, and I'm pretty psyched to recommend it to other people. I think you're going to like it.
Cool.
All right. Next up, television. Two brief things. One, it's not that I know more now. This was a ridiculously easy Tournament of Champions.
Really? Okay.
I got to the last episode of the Tournament of Champions, so the actual final. And I'm just going to give you a sample category. And it's like, this is an actual category from the Tournament of Champions.
So okay, but bear in mind, I am kind of done sometimes, and I have been drinking steadily for 2 hours.
No. It's okay. First off, thank you for letting us know that you're super drunk.
I am not super drunk.
You just have been drinking continuously for 2 hours.
But I nurse.
That's fine. No, you do. I do know that you drink very slowly. I have seen you. It's fine. But anyway, the point is. So here, I'm not expecting you to get these questions, but I just want you to acknowledge that this shouldn't be in a Tournament of Champion.
Okay.
So here is the, I think it's like abbreviations reversed. So, you could say that you went to the location of Hollywood and the location of Baton Rouge. And the answer, not Baton Rouge, what am I saying? And the location of Mobile. And so you would say L.A., A.L., Los Angeles, Alabama.
Oh, I get it.
See,
okay.
Yeah, see? All right.
Palindromes.
Well, kind of palindromes, but not exactly. Well, it is a palindrome. But,
that
is because
a palindrome.
It's initial, no, but because
example.
It's initials, it's not a word, so it's not a palindrome. It's
still
it's two sets
the initials
of initials
form a palindrome.
That's true. But it's only what I'm saying is it's only a palindrome if it is actual words rather than just letters. You know what? That's not the point. The point is, here's the question that came up. For example, washing machines are made by this company.
Maytag?
Okay, I just explained to you the whole premise. you're obviously the wrong target for this.
What's the answer?
E.G., for example, G.E.
Oh.
See? Yeah.
And oh, I realized, for example, was part of the clue.
No, it is part of the clue.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Here's I'll give you a second one.
Okay.
A method for for making announcements this news organization might report.
PAAP.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm a genius.
You're a genius. You see how that was like a $1,200 question.
Wow, really?
Exactly. That was worth $1,200, that thing you just said.
Oh,
like,
my
how
God.
How is that in the Tournament of Champions?
Yeah, that's terrible.
I mean, the thing is, I do well on Jeopardy. I did not achieve my ambition of getting on Jeopardy because I was too happy to be there. I was too happy doing the audition. I was, like, just so excited that they're like, yeah, this guy's not going to be able to keep his cool on television. He's not getting a call back is obviously what happened. And they were right not to call me back. I wouldn't have been able to keep my cool on television. I love Jeopardy too much. But I did really well in the test and the fake game and all of that nonsense. I had a great time, but I do well at Jeopardy, but I don't think I'm the king of Jeopardy by any means. And what I'm saying is, in a tournament of champions, I'm used to not doing well. I should not be getting, and they're like, there was one of these games in the Jeopardy tournament of champions when I missed like three questions in the game.
Wow.
It's ridiculous how easy they are now. Like, I'm shocked at how they have turned down the difficulty on Jeopardy. So, that is that. One other piece of TV information. I've been rewatching Murder, She Wrote. I've talked about this a little. I just wanted to let people know that season 6 of Murder, She Wrote is one of the weirdest seasons of television I've ever seen.
Is that when she moved to L.A.?
No. She never moved to L.A. She moved to New York one year.
Oh,
I think
right.
That's 8
Whatever.
Or 9.
Not Cabot Cove.
Yeah. Fun fact about the show, very few episodes are set in Cabot Cove. Like, you remember it being a much bigger part of the show than it actually ever was.
It's where she lives.
I know it's where she lives, but she's almost never there. It's kind of crazy.
Okay.
The reason I'm rewatching the show is to find out if Cabot Cove is actually the murder capital of America. So I'm finding out how many murders there actually were in Cabot Cove. And it's like 4 a year or 6 a year. Yeah. Like, it's not many.
So anyway. Is this like map worthy? Am I going to be making another map?
Oh, damn, that might be a good idea. I will have to go back and check where the episodes
are. I can do it.
No, I think it's a great idea. I would just have to go back, because I've only been keeping track of which ones are in Cabot Cove. I haven't checked where the other ones are set, but that won't be hard to do, because, you know, I just have to load up the
episodes. It's just like, how far away from Cabot Cove does she travel? And is her travel distance proportional to the amount of murder that takes place inside of town?
You know what?
Like,
once
the further
I have the
she
data,
travels,
once
the
I have
more
the data,
or worse the murder.
Once I have the data, we can figure out how we want to present it. But anyway, the point is, so it was the weirdest thing. So after season 5, apparently, like, she didn't want to keep doing the show, and she, like, needed time off, and they wanted her to keep doing the show, and she's like, I don't like the producer, you should fire the producer and let me run the show, and there was all this behind-the-scenes nonsense, and it was really popular on the network, so they didn't want to get rid of her, and they needed something else to put on, and blah, 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 blah. So here's the deal they struck that is led to one of the craziest seasons of television I've ever seen. She's like, I will do 8 episodes this year.
8?
8. And the rest of the episodes, I will just walk on at the start of the episode and announce where the setting of this new episode is and what characters might be involved, right? And then basically what they did was they shot a whole season's worth of backdoor pilots. So she could take half a year off. And then if she decided not to come back for season 7, they would say, okay, which one of the pilots did the fans like the most? That's what we'll do next year instead of Murder, She Wrote.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a whole season of that.
Oh, that is weird.
It is weird. The only thing I've ever seen as strange as Highlander season 6, which was the exact same thing. Like, they only did, I think, 16 episodes, and 7 of them were pilots for other shows.
Shit. I thought that one episode of Supernatural was weird, but a whole season of that shit?
A whole season.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh, that's bizarre.
No, it was really weird to watch. And the thing is, some of them, by the end, I'm like, yeah, I would have watched that show. And the very first show was basically a ripoff of Turner and Hooch, where a gruff private detective was teamed up with a dog, except the dog was a giant poodle.
Oh.
And I'm like, I would have watched that show. That poodle is really cute. And I like the idea of a giant poodle being an attack dog. So yeah, if you had given me the opportunity to watch that show, I would have watched the show about the detective with a giant poodle.
Well, poodles are really smart, so.
Yeah. Well, no, and the whole point of it was that it was a, like, trained, like, a trained police dog that just happened to be a poodle. And he ended up with it to solve a murder. No, it wouldn't, but of course it wouldn't. No, I'm not saying it was a, like, a believable premise for a show. I'm just saying it was a very entertaining pilot, and I would have watched the show. I totally would have watched that show. All right, but yeah, so Murder, She Wrote Season 6. If you want something see something truly weird, check out Murder, She Wrote Season 6 and be like, huh. I've never seen something this strange other than Highlander. God, that one episode of Supernatural you told me about where they're like, we're setting up our show that's basically just Vampire the Masquerade, but in our world. Oh, okay.
It was so weird. So weird. Okay, I want to talk about TV that isn't Supernatural.
Please, go.
I have started watching and am almost finished The Haunting of Hill House.
How is it?
It's good.
So it's worth checking out.
I think so, yeah. I really, I wanted something to watch, and I just figured, I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I really wasn't expecting much.
Right.
But I am really enjoying it, and there are some good creepy moments in there.
Yay. Oh, yeah. That makes me so happy.
So
they actually did it right. And will they have the guts to just, I mean, it ends definitively, right?
I haven't finished it.
Oh, you haven't finished? All right. Well, we'll talk about that after you finish.
I'm pretty sure it will end.
I had heard that it's a one-season thing, and I want to make sure it's not one of those. And then at the end, the evil Santa is still out there kind of things in the last episode. No, I don't think The Haunting of Hill House is about an evil Santa. I was referencing something we're about to talk about. Yeah. Don't worry. I'm not delusional. All right. That does sound good, though. I'm glad that it went well. And once I've gotten your full okay on the whole series, I'll be sure to check it out.
Cool.
Because if it's got a bad ending, I'm not going to start.
Well, because lately I've started doing this thing where like I'll watch part of a season and then I'll just stop.
Yeah, because you just can't get into it.
To the point, I don't care to see the end. I'm not enjoying it. I know I only have 3 episodes left, Archer, but I'm not going to do it. Just can't bring myself to watch this 3 episodes.
You really did not like Danger Island the way I did.
No, I didn't. I didn't like it from the start. But I have 3 episodes left of Haunting of Hill House, and I will watch them.
Oh my god. Speaking of, like, the way you have this habit of, like, dropping off, apparently you're far from the only person who did that. One of the reasons that they went and canceled all of the Marvel shows was that Netflix was like, look, we're happy to be doing this, Daredevil is critically acclaimed, blah, 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 but the thing is, our statistics show that people generally stop watching at episode 7.
Yeah, because that's when it starts tanking.
Exactly. And they're like, this is what they said was, we will renew all of your Marvel shows if you make them 7 episodes long.
That's not, the issue isn't that it's more than 7 episodes.
No, but that was Netflix's data-based solution to the problem. Oh, people stop watching after episode 7? Let's make it so there's only 7 episodes. Otherwise, we're just wasting money.
This is what happens when you have algorithms.
Data-driven programming.
Making your decisions for you.
And Marvel's like, screw it, we'll just figure out a way to put, like, Luke Cage in movies or whatever.
Oh my god. Yeah, not the issue, guys.
I know, but that's Jesus apparently Christ. That was part of the story, and I thought you'd be entertained.
Oh my god, right. How could you be Netflix, so stupid?
It makes you want to punch Netflix, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Okay, let's move on to A list.
Yeah. Okay, so we are getting into the Christmas season. Haven't for a while now.
That's true.
So this week's list is 5 brutal foreign horror movies to play at Christmas to scare your family away.
Ooh, that's a weird way to premise a list, but okay.
But that's what it's called, so.
No, I understand that. It's just like, that's a weird thing to try and get people to do. To drive off their family net members with gory movies.
Not everybody likes their family. That's true. Like, in the States, you have American Thanksgiving a month before Christmas, which I call practice Christmas.
Okay, I get it. So the whole, you would be after Thanksgiving went so terribly, you were not looking forward to Christmas. And they're like, how can I make this as short as possible?
Usually Thanksgiving goes well because there's like nothing at stake. But Christmas is this time of like forced family and unity and friendship and all that stuff.
I see what you're saying.
And it's way more stressful than Thanksgiving is.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
I get it now. Yeah. Thanksgiving. So what are the movies?
Okay, so bear with me here because this list is not enumerated. It's difficult to tell what the entries are, just the way it's formatted.
Bad formatting, no enumeration. Thumbs up, whoever. Oh, wait, what website is this list from?
This is bloody disgusting.
Oh, bloody disgusting.
What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. Okay,
I
so
love
if
your
you don't
video
get to
game
five,
news.
Oh, my
Do
fault.
Everything else better.
Okay, so I guess the first one on the list.
Okay.
Inside.
Well, I guess it's a holiday movie.
It's set at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big part of the movie, but sure, yeah. I mean, I hate the movie, but, I mean, it is gross, and it is set at Christmas, and no one will want to know you after they see that you like that movie, so, yeah, it checks all of the boxes they set
there
out for
go.
Themselves.
Perfect.
You know, how to lose friends, make them watch Inside. Okay, bravo.
All right, next on the list, Martyrs, which I have never seen.
Just don't. No
so it says here, it is a movie about God and religion, so I guess that's why it's
Christmassy,
good for-
yeah. No, yeah. Makes sense.
I have nothing to say about it again because I have never seen it. So.
And my feeling about it is, don't watch it. Don't watch the American Martyrs. Don't watch the original Martyrs. Just don't watch it.
All right, there you go.
You'll be happier.
Okay, moving right along.
Yeah.
Irreversible.
Okay, is that holiday themed at all?
I
decided just not to watch Irreversible because it seemed like just a unpleasant provocation from a guy who's only known for making unpleasant provocations. And so I just like, yeah, I don't need to be provoked.
It says here, sometimes at Christmas we need to acknowledge the bad so we can truly be grateful for how lucky we are. I don't think it's a Christmas movie. I think it's just a movie about, I don't know, bad people doing bad things.
No, it's about just a couple that's having problems, and she gets brutally raped, and he kills a guy, but they tell it in reverse order.
All right.
Yeah.
So, just, it's not a Christmas movie, but it's foreign, so.
It is foreign, and
it
is very unpleasant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Next on this list.
Hit me.
Funny Games.
Screw you, list.
It says here, you know this director has won an Oscar, right? Oh, my God.
Oh, is Funny Games is
like,
the worst.
You know, in the Olympics, you can be stripped of your medal. Can you be stripped of your Oscar?
But the thing is, okay, The White Ribbon's a really good movie. Like, it's not like Haneke's complete disaster as a filmmaker. Like, White Ribbon's a really good movie. Like, it really is. And it's like, if you want to understand Germany and how Nazism rose, well, The White Ribbon's right there to help you understand that country if you just don't want to read a book. But, yeah, no, Funny Games is just god-awful.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
No one should ever watch Funny Games.
No.
Like, ever. All right, is that it?
No, there is one more.
Okay.
A Serbian film.
No! Oh, my God! Although that might be set at Christmas.
Again,
complete garbage.
Probably
I have total garbage from beginning to end.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, just utterly worthless.
But it's like
no
garbage
value.
In the same way that like you hate Inside and Martyrs.
Good question. No, it is, again, trash that exists only to provoke. It is just a series of unpleasant things happening for no good reason except to revel in unpleasantness. And that is, like, within the text, what it's about, because it's about a filmmaker, like, making a snuff film.
Right? Okay.
Just because he enjoys human suffering and he wants to share that with his patrons in the government who like enjoying watching people die. Like, that's all the movie's about. It's about showing awfulness on screen. And then the director will say, yes, and it's, I mean it as a metaphor for, you know, how the upper classes treat people. And I'm like, well, it's not really a metaphor because that's textually what it's about.
Right.
That doesn't make it good or, you know, worth anyone's time. So yeah, just a worthless film. I mean, it is about making snuff films, so if you want to give it a look at some point because of your fascination with that subgenre.
Yeah, I did deliver a lecture on the topic of snuff,
thumbs
so.
Up, but like, it is a film of no particular value.
Yeah.
That no one should watch. And there is enough nudity and super gore that it would drive anyone away from your house. See, the thing is, I think this list has overshot what it wanted to accomplish, because we were just said wanting to get people out of your house was the premise of the list, but it seems more like the premise of the list is wanting people to never speak to you again.
Yeah, like, because, get them out of your house and they'll never come back.
And out of your life. Because I'm just going to tell you, if I met someone and I thought they were a perfectly fine person, blah, 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 and at some point I discovered that they genuinely liked all of those films, and, like, owned them and had watched them more than once,
right,
I'd be like, maybe I never talk to that person again. Might be better for everybody if I just never, ever, ever spend time in a room with that person again.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to come out weirdly in favor of this list because, you know, thumbs up, you made your point. But your point is, you know how to revel in awfulness quite effectively.
I was actually looking for a list about foreign Christmas horror movies. So, well,
this is where the internet took us.
So maybe that list doesn't exist.
Maybe
it's another list that we have to create for everyone's benefit. Like a list of movies about haunted attractions.
Exactly. So, like, you know, I mean, so just we'll put like Red Snow and rare exports and stuff like that on a list and just hand it to people. Like, here's your foreign movie Christmas horror
list.
There
you go, yeah.
Here's the one about the kid who pretends to be Macaulay Culkin when Killer Santa shows up at his house.
That is getting a 4K restoration, by the
way. What?
Oh, yeah.
I don't get the world. All right. Ow. All right. Just ow. All right, let's keep going.
Okay. Right, so next up is upcoming horror movie. Usually you have like a setup for me, but
I'm too defeated by that list.
Okay.
And having to think about all of these horrible movies.
So all this week's upcoming horror movie is called The Final Wish.
Ooh. I have to assume it's the latest in the Wishmaster franchise?
It is not.
Oh, when are they bringing back Wishmaster?
Right? Especially if you're calling your movie The Final Wish.
Fuck. I know, right?
Alright. The Final Wish is a gothic fairy tale about Aaron, a struggling lawyer who returns home following the passing of his father to help his devastated mother.
By the way, just thank you for pronouncing it Aaron.
I've been watching a lot of Key and Peele.
They're the best. Alright.
Yes, so Aaron has returned home following the passing of his father to help his devastated mother and confront his past demons.
Ooh.
Sifting through his father's belongings, Aaron stumbles upon an urn, which is far more than it seems. As his desires and wishes start coming true, Aaron thinks his prayers have been answered until he learns the sinister price that comes with the final wish.
Wait,
that's in all
caps,
by the way.
Did this movie not just come out last year? Wish Upon? About, like, a girl who finds a wish box and then the wish kills people?
Mm. Isn't that, like, any movie about making wishes?
Almost all of them. That's true. That actually tends to be... They refuse to make a movie about wishes where the plot can't be summed up in the phrase, be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Like, no one has ever made a movie, a horror movie about wishes,
that where isn't you can't just a retelling sum up the plot. Monkey's paw.
Yes, that where you can't sum up the whole plot by saying, be careful what you wish for. Because that's all you have to do for any of these movies.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would guess that 80% of them have used that as their tagline.
I don't have a tagline here for this movie, but I can tell you.
Yeah.
That the co-writer is best known for Final Destination, and it stars Tony Todd.
What? Who's the co-writer?
Jeffrey Reddick.
Oh, the guy who did the later ones. Okay, well, that's not...
It just says Final Destination here. It doesn't specify which Final Destination.
Actually, yeah, that's the question, because I know Glenn Morgan and James Wong did the first one, but which one did this guy do?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it stars Tony Todd. That's all I care about. We're watching this for the show, just FYI. I'll watch anything with Tony Todd now.
I just wish these past demons were real
legit
demons.
Demons.
That would be
amazing.
Like
that Kids in the Hall sketch where they open a cupboard and there's just a demon in there. That would be fantastic.
Come on. Yeah. It's so easy. Why not use it? It's right there.
Yeah.
But you're not making a comedy, so unfortunate for everyone.
It's sad. Sometimes, and this is going to come up in a minute, you should just make a comedy. If you're not good at horror, just make a comedy. Maybe give that a try, huh?
I know, comedy is not easy.
It's not easy, but if you're bad at horror, you're halfway there.
Ouch!
Boom!
Damn.
Shots fired, though. All right, we are here to talk about movies we did see, so let's get started on that.
So our first movie this evening is Christmas Blood, also known as Yule Blood. I mentioned this, I think, 2 weeks ago on upcoming horror movies.
And it turned out it was really upcoming.
And it was really upcoming.
Yeah. Had they already sent us a screener, or did it miraculously show up like the next day or something?
No. I got the screener a while ago.
Oh, okay. And you just forgot.
I just didn't know.
Okay.
And then I was cleaning out the inbox, and like, I saw it in there. I was like, oh my God.
Coincidentally, we have a copy of this movie ready to watch. Thank
you, there you
distributor
go.
In North America.
Thank you. Artsploitation.
Artsploitation.
Yes. Yeah. And thanks to me for reading through the things before I delete them. Normally
which,
I don't.
Which is a chore for you. Which is 100% a chore for
you. I usually don't, but...
There you go.
Yeah, here we are.
All right, hit us. Give us that subtitle, Jesus. That synopsis. I know.
An axe-wielding Santa Claus was terrorizing Norway until he was shot and thrown in secret prison. But now he's escaped to finish crossing people off his naughty list. By the way, way better synopsis than the official synopsis.
Really? What's the official synopsis?
I don't know. It was terrible. Remember the thing that I read?
Oh, right, where it was awful. Completely convoluted and we couldn't tell what they even thought what they were trying to say. Right, I remember that. Okay. No, and that was a very concise synopsis, so bravo.
Thank you.
All right, so this movie is trash.
It is way too long.
I'm not saying I turn off a movie
so
from
long.
Time to time. I will admit to doing
minutes.
A lot of paperwork
so
while I was watching this movie.
Paperwork? Filing your taxes? Getting that out of the way?
No, not filing my taxes, but post it, pre-posting stuff and, filling out the metadata on videos. Just, housekeeping stuff.
Okay.
While I was watching this movie, because oh my God, I can't imagine just sitting there and trying to sit and watch this movie.
That's what I did.
I'm so sorry.
I sat and watched this movie.
It's so long.
I also played with the settings on my television because it's so fucking dark. I can't see anything.
That was a real problem in this.
So it's
movie.
Not just me. Okay.
No. I have two monitors hooked up to my computer, and I normally watch it on the one I use for... I normally will put, if I'm doing other posting, as I was saying, I'll have that on my main monitor, and then I have a monitor I generally just use for writing text that's off to the side. And it's a perfectly good monitor, love the monitor, but it is by nature, because it's supposed to have no glare, because you're sitting staring at a white screen all night, it's a little darker. That's where I normally put the movie when I'm doing other stuff. And it was so black, I couldn't see anything. Like, I just couldn't see anything that was happening on the screen.
It was a complete
blackout.
So I
had to move it to the big monitor.
Just so
I could see what was happening, and it was still too dark.
Yeah. So, like, do people not use their lights in Norway? Is this a cost-saving measure? I don't understand why people wander around the house in the dark.
Oh, God, all of the time.
You'd think they
would be used to having all the lights on when, you know, they live in a part of the country where it is dark 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, you live that far north, maybe put the lights on.
And I get it. Like, you have twinkle lights and fairy lights all over the house, but still...
Also, maybe just have a light.
Maybe turn on a light here or there, especially when you're a police officer entering a crime scene.
Who has come to the crime scene to investigate that. Maybe turn on a light.
Just going
to
throw that out there as a suggestion.
Yeah, the cops apparently love wandering around in the darkness. Oh, well, but what if they turn on a light and they disturbed a fingerprint on the light switch? I'm like, you got a gun. Just nudge.
You know, it's better than stepping in a pile of gore because you did that.
You did that a bunch, cops.
Oh, man. So this movie, I guess it starts off okay.
Slightly promisingly.
Yeah.
Because it's weird, because it opens up 12 years into the story. Like, the story has already been going on for 12 years when the movie starts. And then, oh no, it's been going on for 10 years when the movie starts, and then we fast forward another 10 years? Is that how it works?
I kind of lost the first track murders... of time. So the movie, the present day of the film is set in 2016.
Yes.
Killer Santa...
The prologue is set in 2006.
It's 2006, and Killer Santa... No, so if the prologue's in 2006, Killer Santa was captured in 2006 and was put away for 10... And yeah, he was away for 10 years.
Yes. And we have no idea how he escaped or why he picked this year to escape. I mean, it's not relevant.
What does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. You're absolutely right. It's frustrating because you watch the movie and you're like, okay, is this going to, like, be explained? Is any of this going to come together?
Any of the questions you have going into this movie or that might arise during the film to the point where... The new cop, current cop, asks past police officer, how did you know where he was?
Yeah.
And the guy doesn't have an answer for him.
Yeah. He's just like, it was just a coincidence. I happened to be going to check.
Right time,
right place. This is key to the plot.
I'm at more lucky than murder, good.
The very first murder, Killer Santa left a list of who were going to be his 300 victims. Right? And then he traveled the country and killed, like, 180 people.
Yeah.
And then, after 10 years of that, which is a lot of people to kill in 10 years, but whatever, 18 people a year, making him the worst serial killer in the history of the world, for the record.
Only at Christmas time. You have to
assume. Oh, because he only kills at Christmas time.
These are only Christmas-related killings.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess he goes to, like... He kills a bunch of people at Christmas. He doesn't just, like, target one house each Christmas.
It's a spree. He is a spree killer.
Yeah.
Who
and he comes back every year at Christmas. And then they catch him. And then, of course, they have the list of who he might be coming to kill. But they don't seem to have told anybody that they're on the list.
Right? Wouldn't you want to know that so you can, like, you know,
give me a
fuck
heads
off
up
at Christmas? Like, maybe
this,
heads
my
up.
My presence on this freaking list. They're like, we just got to go and try to find the people on the list, right? And they're like, or you could just give them a warning.
Right. Just
inform
heads up
them.
Might be targeted by an axe-wielding Santa Claus.
There's a killer Santa out there. You're on his naughty list, because there's no other way to describe it than a naughty list. That's obviously what it is. And he's definitely coming to kill you. So just heads up. Take steps. You know. And I want to point out that, like, so this is a guy who has killed 180 people, plus however many people he killed to escape from prison, right? Escape from the asylum, which they do a little Michael Myers thing, but whatever, doesn't matter. Plus however many people, and apparently it's just one guy's job to catch him.
Yes.
Just one guy.
No task force. No mobilization.
No mobilization.
Nothing.
Oh, you think he's in this town? Take a bus to get there.
Just a dude. Never mind the fact that we know from early in the movie it takes at least 4 hours from wherever the hell you are to get to this place. Not even Oslo, which is their starting point.
I know. Take a helicopter.
That's exactly what I was like, why aren't you flying there?
Take a helicopter. Take an ultra, like, get on a plane.
Take an ultra
something. Get in a plane. Why
straps
are you on
a rockets
bus?
To your feet. Just go.
This is more important. And it's like, yeah, just the idea that there is no one working on this case but this one guy who is not at all ready to work on any kind of a case like this.
Yeah.
Who is fundamentally not up to the task he has been presented with.
Right.
And he makes that clear constantly.
And the dude who caught the killer Santa 10 years ago.
Accidentally.
Accidentally. Lest we forget.
He's not good at his job either.
He's like an alcoholic, crazy person. So. Yeah.
And no one seems to acknowledge that Santa is magic, despite the fact that he was shot 8 times.
In the head!
In the chest, and then twice in the head.
Twice in the head. Yes.
And is fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, we can't acknowledge that he's obviously magic.
Right.
Oh, God. Like, the thing is, this isn't a bad premise for a movie. I kind of want to watch a movie
about a magical killer Santa? I would watch the crap out of that movie.
Yes, a cop's trying to catch, like, what is it like being a cop on the magical killer Santa beat? That's an interesting premise. This isn't a film about that.
No, this is a film about bitches.
Oh, so many bitches.
Who can't get along.
Yep, but guess what they all want to do? Spend the weekend together at a house in literally the middle of the ass end of nowhere. I was going to say of nowhere. No, it's the ass end of nowhere, because it is literally as far as you can get in this country before you're in the North
Sea. In Russia. No, so it's actually one bitch who ruins it for everybody else. So the first group of girls, never mind the fact that there's a killer Santa running around.
Yeah.
This one woman, I don't remember anybody's name except for Elizabeth.
Not important.
So this one girl, her mother died about a month ago, and so her friends have come to her home in the ass end of nowhere to spend the holiday with her, which
cheer
is
her up.
A really nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. And everything's great. They're having a good time, and then some more friends arrive. And one of the friends who arrives, one of the girlfriends brings her boyfriend. And you find out that the boyfriend slept with one of the other women.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend of the boyfriend has a huge fucking problem with this.
Yes.
Never mind the fact that it happened before they got together.
Yeah.
And it destroys the dynamic. It ruins the friendship.
Ruins everybody's weekend.
And it just, yeah.
Even if Killer Santa didn't show up.
Yeah, the weekend is ruined. So it's like, it's her fault.
Yes.
That those two people die. Not her fault that everybody else dies.
Santa
but definitely
was going to kill
fault.
Everybody eventually. Like,
but it's, she kicks the boyfriend and the former paramour out of the house.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right. And it's very annoying. She
so
is
it's
the
just
worst.
Like, everybody was having a good time until you got all bent out of shape over the fact that your boyfriend slept with someone before he met you.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And like, granted, he doesn't make it, or he makes it easy for her because then, you know, he starts flirting with the other woman.
Yeah, the ex, yeah.
So it's so. Like, dude, what are you doing? But
you're making this worse, is what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is already a bad situation, and you've decided to make it 100 times worse.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to
get on board with these people.
Get on board with these people, and then they invite like two random dudes for a Twitter date.
Yeah. Tinder date.
Tinder date. Twitter date. Tinder. I'm close.
It's fine.
For a Tinder. Yeah. So, and then like someone gets raped. It's just like, what the fuck is going on with this movie? I came here to watch people die at the hands of Santa Claus. Why isn't that happening?
How has this turned into a horrible psychosexual nightmare?
God. And when it does finally start happening, I can't tell because no one's turned on the lights.
Yeah, and by the way, worst, so the local cops get a call that, you know, Killer Santa's on the way from the Oslo cops. They're like, hey, Killer Santa's on the way, be advised, they're going to this house.
They start call. They try calling the house, but nobody answers the goddamn phone in this country. Yep. They send a local cop to go to the house. He knocks on the door, maybe twice, and then he's like, yep, nobody home. Never mind,
and
they're having
a party inside.
It's
literally the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
The house is dead.
Because he says the house is dead. I'm like, but the point of the scene is that the music inside is so loud that they can't hear you knocking. Also, all the lights are on.
Well,
what do you mean?
They aren't, though, because...
Well, no, not all the lights are on. But I'm saying there are enough lights on inside with all the fairy lights and the tea lights that there's clearly lights on in the house.
Yeah.
Also, apparently the music is so loud they can't hear you, but somehow you can't hear the music at all?
Right. Nobody home.
Then he finds a body in a duffel bag and he doesn't immediately call for backup.
No, he just stands around waiting to get killed.
Oh, you're the worst. Like, all of the cops in this movie are the worst.
But
basically,
but
all of them.
Never mind the fact that everyone just kind of lines up and waits to die.
Yeah.
This, like, I think the biggest problem, well, there are lots of really good problems with this movie.
There's a lot of arguments to be made for what the worst part of the movie is.
Okay, a big problem.
Okay.
How about that? Is that at no point does anyone realize they're in danger until Santa shows up to kill them. So no one discovers a body.
No. There's no gradual escalation.
There's escalation from the viewer's point of view because we're privy to everything that's going on.
But not for the characters.
And that's literally a huge
80% of the characters. Like, are not involved in the story of the movie at all until the last 15 minutes.
And then they're just run around screaming. So that, like, you say what you want about, like, the slasher franchises from the 80s. At least the people in those movies knew at some point that they were in danger before it was staring them in the face.
Yeah, there's usually, they're like, oh, wait, something weird's going on. Where did so-and-so go? And they go to look and things like that. Yeah, like, the last half hour of the movie, things develop. Here, only when the guy actually shows up, do we know anything is happening as the characters.
Yeah.
It's super frustrating. Also, for no good reason, there's an explicit nudity autopsy scene.
Yeah, I think that was just showing off.
Yeah. What was that?
Because it's really gratuitous.
Completely, yeah.
I can't say exploitive, because that's not what's going on. It's just full on... gratuitous nudity for the sole purpose of not even titillating the audience, just...
So much just surprising them that that's on screen.
Them, and then, like, grossing them out at the same time because they make a point of really making it as disgusting as possible.
Yeah. They go out of their way to make a naked body as disgusting as they possibly can.
But it's not even the body is disgusting.
No, it's the guy next to it and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, because they intercut shots of a naked body and then the naked body's wounds and then a guy really grossly eating food.
Yeah.
Just to make the point that all of this is, you know, horribly disgusting.
Yeah.
And I know, we want to put you inside of the character who's the most squeamish cop in the world. I'm like, we already knew he was a very squeamish cop. That's been well established.
And that scene has nothing to do with the story.
Although, to be fair, he thinks it does because this woman is on the naughty list. The woman is on the naughty list, and she is killed today, and they need to know if it's one of Santa's victims. So that is why they're there.
Well, because,
but she's
like,
not.
She's not, and that doesn't go anywhere. And they find out there's another misunderstanding or mix-up of names with respect to some of Santa's victims. So it's just like, for fuck's sake, movie. Get your shit together.
Yeah, it's a mess. And
like,
it really is.
It's so weird that the killer knows what he's doing, but nobody else, including the writer and director, seem to understand what's going on.
Oh, it's a mean thing to say, but it's completely true.
It's true, though. Film is, yeah.
This film is trash, and I think part of what bothered me so much is, like, I don't know what the cinematographer was doing, because they clearly know how to stage these scare sequences, right? Like, the horror scenes are well enough staged. I know what they're doing. I know what they're trying to get across. And, like, there's that extensive stalking sequence inside a hotel that I thought, you know what? They're doing this largely right. But it's all so dark. But
you can't see the goddamn...
You can't see what's going on.
You feel bad for the effects department, who, again, know what they're doing. There's some good gore effects in there, I assume.
This is made by professionals entirely, except there was a cinematographer who didn't know how to light anything, or a director who told the cinematographer not to light anything.
Yeah,
one of those two things happened, and it ruined all of the visuals of what could have been a good-looking movie.
Because I can't, like, while watching the movie, I kept thinking back to Haunting of Hill House, because a lot of that takes place at night in the haunted house, because that's when the ghosts come out. And you don't miss anything.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be incoherent just because it's night. Yeah. No, there's no reason a nighttime set product has to be incoherent.
You want to talk about incoherence? Let's talk about that final fight between Santa and the woman who turns out to be the final girl.
Yeah.
Some of the worst shaky cam and intensified continuity that I have seen in a long time.
Yeah. That was bizarre.
Like, it is. Again. Impossible.
Completely incoherent.
Oh my God.
Like earlier, when Santa interrupts a rape and then hits a woman in the vagina with his axe. Ugh. Seriously, that happens in this movie, guys.
Thanks, movie.
At least you could tell what was happening, and they shot it cleanly. As cleanly as you can shoot it. Whereas this scene, they're like, oh, so now that you have been actually called on to do a fight, you have just no idea what you're doing?
Yeah.
That's a surprise. Because I thought you were competent up until that moment, and it was just the lighting that was the problem. But no. No. Also, staging seems to have eluded you. Great.
In this one moment.
This one scene. But it's the one time there's action in the movie.
Yeah.
So, action is just something that completely eludes this director.
Or, I guess...
Or the editor.
Yeah. You know, this guy, the director, or who, maybe the second, the assistant director,
whoever
was in charge of shooting this one scene, just... grew up watching all this intensified continuity shit, and, like, that's what they think action looks like?
No, but it's impossible to tell what's going on, and it's unbelievably frustrating to watch.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, Christmas Blood. Not a good movie.
I had high expectations for this.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously money was spent on it. It has good production values, you know? Like, they have this whole beautiful... They got this beautiful, completely empty winter town. That, like, really looked good on screen.
Does nobody live in this place?
Apparently zero people live in that place.
Oh, my God.
Even when it's daytime, like, in the Oslo scenes, there's nobody outside in the that part of that part of the country where it's dark 24 hours a day.
It's weird.
It is really weird.
It's desolate.
Yeah.
There's no other words to describe it.
I mean, it really looks good, but... Within the world of the film, I didn't really understand what was going on with that city.
No, maybe they just couldn't afford it.
Because at least in Krampus, you get that, okay, well, right at the start, they were moved into a pocket dimension, and that's where there's nobody around.
There's no one around, but this is just...
Here, there's no pocket dimension. The cops can still get there. I don't know why this place is dead.
That's more of a budgetary issue than
anything else.
But still, so the movie's too long.
Yeah.
It's bloated and out of control in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
And
by the way, I want to point out that a guy has been obsessed with this killer Santa for 20 years now and knows nothing about him.
Yeah.
Has no information to offer.
The only way the cops figure out to go to this town, you know, the ass end of Norway, is because the crazy cop draws a Christmas tree on the wall. He, like, links all the murders together. It looks like a Christmas tree. And he's like, and this is the star at the top of the tree. And I'm like, that makes sense. That's some good police work. Way to get that analytical brain going. And the other cop is just, like, shaking his head. He's like, oh, man, this guy's crazy. It's like, it's right there in front of you, guy.
I know.
Took you 20 fucking years to figure this shit out, but here we are.
So, yeah, Christmas Blood, god-awful. Let's move on to...
Jack Frost 2.
They made a Jack Frost 2!
Return of the Mutant Killer Snowman. This came up last week.
Yeah.
I said we should watch it, and now we have. A year after surviving the events of Jack Frost, the survivors, head to the tropics for an island Christmas holiday.
A destination wedding, in fact.
True, yes. It's also a destination wedding. Little do they know, Jack has been resurrected, and he's also headed south. All right, I'm going to go out and say...
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed this.
It's a fun movie. It's so dumb. But they're fine with that.
Well, that's just it. Like, as a good comparison to Christmas Blood, the makers of Jack Frost 2 knew what they were doing, knew that this was ridiculous right from the start, and they just had a good time with it. It's also too long.
Oh, God, it's so long.
But they really do showcase, like, some good, like, comedy filmmaking talent.
Yeah, no, there's a scene in this movie, and I mean, we're going to spoil a lot of this movie, if not all of it. Well, probably not all of it, but most of it. There's a scene in this movie where, like, that scene where what does the party guy call himself? The party captain?
Captain Fun.
Captain Fun, thank you. The guy who loves to party, whose job it is to, you know, make sure everybody on the resort is having a good time. And he's like, here's what we're going to do. And he's like, don't worry, I believe you about this Jack Frost situation. Here's what we're going to do it. Have the exact party I've been pitching anyway.
Yeah.
And they're like, is your solution to every problem partying? Like,
yes,
I haven't found a problem it hasn't solved, so.
Here we go.
I love that scene. I'm like, okay, I'm not liking this ironically anymore. I think they're doing a legitimately good job.
No, but right from the start, though, when
the
cop is at
his psychologist.
He's talking to his therapist.
And everyone...
And his therapist has him on speaker. So his
everyone can make fun of his ridiculous delusions.
The receptionist is listening in on this therapy session where the guy just talks about this killer snowman who came to life. And
then she starts waving other people over.
Other people into the frame, like, you gotta come listen to this. So, like, first, it's like, the janitor shows up to listen on the call.
Then there's a construction
worker. Then there's a construction worker, and then a nurse, and it's just like, that is legitimately funny.
It is.
You know, you've got this collection of people all listening in on this phone call, or it's not even a phone call, this therapy session.
This therapy session.
And the therapist is in on it.
Oh, God, yeah. And they've done it before because, like, all of the characters listening to it, like, can say parts of it along because this guy just keeps coming back week after week to talk about this killer snowman to the point where they don't even take him seriously anymore and they're just laughing at him behind his back.
But even just that scene, though, where she keeps,
where
more people just keep arriving
into the frame.
Into the frame to listen to the sermon, like, that's legitimately funny. That is well done.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this film had no money, like, to work with. Like, this is a very low-budget movie.
But...
And they did really good with what they had.
Yeah.
Like, they really did. I don't remember a lot about the first Jack Frost movie. I remember it not being any good. I remember it being very bad.
Yeah, and I don't think it was, like, as...
This kind of a comedy.
No.
I really don't.
I think they were going for comedy in some parts, but I don't think they were as good at it.
At this point, yeah.
Aware of...
Of the exact film they were making,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's an... this film has everything you would expect in this kind of a movie. There's a bunch of gratuitous nudity. There's lots of super gory stuff. But it's all handled with a lightness...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not going to say deft, but they're clearly like, they're not taking this too seriously. They don't want you to take it too seriously either. Everybody's a caricature. Everything's just silly. Relax and have a good time is all this movie wants you to do.
Yes.
And I really like that. Like, it's just, you know, this is as unpretentious a film as you can possibly see. It really is.
I like this moment where all of the guests are arriving at the island resort.
Yeah.
And there's the colonel.
Yeah.
I don't know how old this guy is supposed to be, because he keeps talking about his time in India. So it's like,
are you 120?
100 years old? How old are you? Because he's dressed as a colonial.
Yeah, a colonial British officer.
British
yeah.
officer, that's it. Thank you. And he yeah. keeps talking about India, and I'm like, where are
what?
You from?
When are you from?
When yeah. are you from? So, I like, that's funny.
It is.
And
then they introduce him by having him do a parody of Fantasy Island.
Well, like, all of these people are arriving at the resort, and he's like, these girls will learn that, you know, the power of friendship is more important than anything, and
yeah,
these people
that's the
learn
parody
about
of Fantasy Island. Because whenever people would come off the plane on Fantasy Island, Ricardo Montalban would explain to Tattoo that what they're hoping to find here is X, but really they're going to find out Y.
And I thought that was hilarious because yeah. they all die.
I know, they all die right away.
Right. They have those, the girls have no time to find out about the power of friendship.
I know.
They all die.
Yeah, but again, it's like this really knowing wink to a, at the time this film was made, 25-year-old TV show. Like, what a weird thing to parody in this, but I loved it. And it's like, and they even lampshade it, but it's like, why do you have to pretend, they've got his assistant, like, why do you have to pretend every person who arrives here is part of a narrative of self-discovery? Some people just want to go on vacation.
Right. But I thought that was a funny joke, though.
It's a very funny yeah. joke that they all get killed. Yeah, but it's like the idea that the guy is trying to make it into Fantasy Island. It's like, no, they're just on vacation, and they're going to get murdered. It's yeah. a horror movie. It's fine. But yeah, there's a lot of silliness. There's one genuinely oof sequence. If you're nervous about drowning, there is actually one sequence in this that's
yeah.
pretty hard to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, where somebody gets trapped under some ice in water, and they try to lighten it up by having her be topless, but it's like, it's genuinely upsetting. Oh, she's completely nude, right.
Yeah, but you like, just, you know, like, you see the butt, but yeah. you don't see any vag.
They don't do full frontal nudity
yeah.
or anything.
But she
is
totally
nude.
It's
not Christmas blood. But the big takeaway from Christmas blood, gratuitous full frontal nudity. That's what we're all going to take away from
living
that.
Living and dead. So,
living
something
dead.
For everyone.
Jesus Christ. But anyway, yeah, so this woman is skinny dipping, and she gets drowned under some ice. And it's like, it's genuinely rough to watch if you're nervous about that kind of thing. And I'm not saying I am, but mm-hmm. it could be unnerving for certain audiences.
Yes, that's true.
But the rest of the time, all the deaths are just like a head explodes, a giant icicle goes through someone's
an
eye.
An anvil! Like, someone has an anvil dropped on them!
Yeah, it's so silly.
The explanation, shark attack.
Yeah.
Well, you're inland.
I do like when the guy is suggesting excuses for how there's not a serial killer on the loose that will make his resort be okay, but the solutions are all like terrible things that will drive everyone away, like shark attack or food poisoning.
Food poisoning, yeah, that was the other one. Like, somebody, I think someone points it out. It's like food poisoning is not going to help in this situation. You're not making things any easier for yourself with your food poisoning story.
Oh God, it's very fun and quite an extensive nod to, I'm going to say, Gremlins.
Yes.
Like an extensive nod to Gremlins.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, when Jack Frost starts butting off children. Like, oh, yeah. This has suddenly become Gremlins. That's weird.
And it does, like, it happens too late in the movie and it goes on for too long.
Yes.
But they were adorable.
They were super adorable.
They were so cute, those little killer snowballs.
Yeah, no, the killer snowballs were great. I really like the look of them. I like the design. I'm not saying Full Moon Video should sell those, but there are worse ideas.
You might buy one.
I would consider buying you one as a gift if they were to give me that chance to do so. Just putting that out there, Full Moon Video. Maybe you want to make some money on killer snowballs.
So at the end of Jack Frost, and yeah. It's not because I remember, it's because okay. Jack Frost
the film lays it out quite
tells
openly.
Me that yeah. he is killed with antifreeze.
Antifreeze, yes.
And then that antifreeze is buried.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Well, to in case he comes back. Like, they're afraid of him coming back.
So I guess that means that then he's, like, part of the antifreeze?
He's now part antifreeze. That's why they can't antifreeze him anymore.
Okay, so, no, but, like, I understand that part, but it's, like, why at the end of the first movie, or at the beginning of the second movie, why would you assume that Jack Frost's DNA or whatever
is still present in the antifreeze?
In the antifreeze.
And why would it be worth, like, bribing and then murdering someone to find out that information to study it at a government lab?
Yes!
Good question! Although, I think weirdly...
What would you accomplish by resurrecting a mutant killer snowman?
Well, to be fair, I don't know that they are trying to resurrect him. I just think they're trying to find out how it happened that a guy turned into a mutant killer snowman, because, you know, that might have military applications. I don't know what they are, but it might.
So anyway, so, industrial accident isn't the right term, but an accident resurrects.
An accident in the least secure evil government science lab in history.
Jack Frost.
Resurrects Jack Frost 1 year after his initial rampage.
Yeah, so now he's water. He's just water. He hasn't taken corporeal form. And he, as water, he has a consciousness, and he speaks. Yeah. We can hear him talk.
Yes.
He disappears down a drain, and then so, I don't know how or why he knows where his nemesis is going.
Well, no, they do explain that he has a psychic link
with
his nemesis.
Oh, they have a psychic link. Okay, yeah. But like, so as water, he's still in some kind of state wherein he doesn't, when he joins a larger body of water, like the ocean.
Yeah, he doesn't disperse into
it. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
He sticks together, so he can travel to this island.
Yes. As water, he flows to that island. They explain in the movie, well, they don't full on explain, it's just theorized that because he was all, our hero was all beat up when they killed Jack Frost,
and
the antifreeze was everywhere,
mingled
his blood got in the, his blood got into the antifreeze, and the antifreeze got into him, so now they are psychically linked. And have been since that event.
But that doesn't explain why Jack Frost can control a carrot or ice cubes.
No. No, that does not explain that part. Or may have incredible cryokinesis powers. No, I don't know how he has cryokinesis.
But he does.
Maybe the government scientists gave it to him. I don't know.
No, they don't, because they weren't able to...
No, they weren't ever resurrect
him. Yeah, resurrect him. So I guess he just has new powers now.
A bunch of them.
Which, so, the heroes rightfully think that they can just kill him the same way.
With antifreeze.
And that doesn't go very well. And now Jack Frost can create offspring. These little gremlin snowballs that are adorably cute.
Yeah, they're super great. One of them gets a heart-wrenching death scene.
It's so sad!
Poor little guy.
Oh, God! I felt for that little killer snowball. I really did.
Slowly dying and crawling away. So sad.
Oh, my God.
Such a ridiculous movie. It really is. It's just the most ridiculous movie.
Yeah. But,
it gets you to care about this dying snowball.
God. And Jack Frost, also, he can take the form of a snowman at will.
Yeah, and immediately disperse into water and then immediately pop back up as a snowman.
Yes.
And he does like to kill as a snowman for reasons I don't completely understand. Like, he can do whatever he wants to as ice or water, but for some reason he still just really likes to pretend to be a snowman who murders people just because that's the theme of the film.
That's how he got his start, you know?
That
so
is true. He got his start just as a regular serial killer, but, you know, he became more marketable as this kind of super ice-themed serial killer. Oh, I can't stress enough how just silly and weird this movie is.
It is.
Like, it was clearly just shot in a warehouse.
As we said, like, they know exactly what kind of movie this is. And everybody's just having a really good time with it.
Oh, completely.
And that comes across in the movie, so you have a good time with it also.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone's having a good time. Everyone's broadly comedic. It's, there's no one is taking this in the least bit seriously. And
they were
sponsored
by Asahi. So.
Yes! I noticed that! The giant product placement.
Lots of Asahi.
So much!
Which isn't bad. I would recommend pouring it out of the bottle and drinking from a glass, but whatever.
Is that a thing?
Well, no, because they always drink the beer from the bottle. Yeah. And I'm just saying...
Oh, as a beer-a-sour.
As a beer-a-sour, yeah. I would just recommend pouring it.
Into a glass. Okay, I did not know that. That was an important part of the beer drinking process.
Really, any beer should be poured, but...
Okay, especially that one.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, like, Jack Frost 2, I mean, it's not good in any conventional way, except they really do have, like, they know what's funny, and they have good comic timing.
This sort of came up last week with Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yeah.
This movie has entertainment value. It's a bad movie, but it's, like, kind of good bad in the sense that you can watch this movie and have a fun time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So. I mean, this is the film that I think Killer Bong could have been. was the movie called Killer Bong? Am I right about that?
Evil Bong.
Evil Bong, thank you.
We've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, no, we have. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is what Evil Bong wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Evil Bong was much broader and much dumber and much, you know, more of a chore to watch. Whereas this thing, it is too long and it is too slow of parts, but it's got a lot of good moments in it. It's got a lot of legitimately funny stuff in it. Like, it's way better than it should have been,
mm-hmm.
you know, way better than it had to be, way better than it should have been. It's still not a good movie, but I think we can recommend it.
I'm going to recommend it, again, because there are, like, some, like, legitimately funny parts.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, that just, like, speak to the filmmaker's sense of comedy and comedic timing. So, yeah. It's a ridiculous movie. So, honestly, you can do a lot worse. We already have this week, so...
So, yeah, trust us on this one. Maybe check this one out. Have a good time.
Check us, too. Watch it with friends. Yeah.
All right. So, I think that's that. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
Yeah, last week I made mention of a movie I watched to review specifically for Influx Magazine. That review is up now, so you can head over to InfluxMagazine.com and check it out.
And the movie is called?
Unlisted Owner.
Unlisted Owner, okay. Although, from what you told me about the movie, like, they do know who owns the house. Like, a family moves into the house and then they get murdered, so presumably they own the house.
They own the house. Yeah, but it's, yeah. You know what? I don't want to ruin it.
Okay. The title does mean something, even though it doesn't sound like it does. So don't listen to the campaigns. For me, I'm putting together the normal stuff, Argelon.com, Hidden Object Guru channel. But I'm putting together a video right now that DM may or may not want to work on editing, where a weird thing happened on John Oliver.
Okay.
He did a piece on product placement that influencers do. Like, where they how people on Instagram are supposed to tell you they're promoting a product, but they often don't, and how it's shady, and blah, 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 blah. And they had been working on this story all year, because all year they had been doing, like, native advertising for Scientology, and not telling anyone, and nobody noticed they'd been advertising Scientology all
year. John Oliver has been advertising?
John Oliver.
Oh,
yeah,
I haven't
as a joke.
Any of this season, really.
Oh, yeah. And it's completely easy to miss. I missed it too, right up until it got super obvious right at the end.
Oh my God.
But anyway. And so what I did was he said, we've been doing this all year. I didn't even show all of them on the clip. And it's true, he didn't. But here's the crazy part. So I buy John Oliver on YouTube every year, right? Because YouTube just sells you the whole season. and you can just have it and watch the episodes whenever you want. It's very convenient, and it's like $25 for the whole season, which is less than a dollar an episode. John Oliver totally deserves that. But the point is, there's 30 episodes for a season, and they upload them to the YouTube. It drops 1 week after it airs. Except the episode with his thing about native advertising and product placement and Scientology never went up.
No.
You can't, even if you bought the whole season like I did, you can't watch that episode on YouTube.
Why not?
I'm like, I want to, that's the question I want answered. I think Scientology might be suing them. Because we know they plan to sue them over the Leah Remini stuff, so it's possible they're also suing HBO over this. So they've taken down the episode until the legal stuff gets settled.
Wow.
So I have, because it's not findable anywhere else online, I've collected all of the jokes about Scientology from the whole season, and we're going to put up a video of all of the Scientology references.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just as a way to say, yeah, the episode that has been buried and you can't see it, here's why that episode got buried.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think that, like, yeah, you can't watch. They can Scientology is powerful enough to get an episode of John Oliver banned, maybe. Again, I can't prove that's what happened, but I don't have a lot of other explanations for why I've got every episode of the season in my account except for that one.
Right.
So it does seem like something shady is going on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. So, is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit Ava's blog at theava.com. Excuse me. You can leave us a comment there. Tell us about your John Oliver conspiracy theories. You can send us an email at theava@gmail.com.
I did not set you up well for that one.
No, you didn't. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
All right. I'm going to encourage you to do all of that stuff. As always, I want to thank you for watching and say that I've been Count Farchelon.
I've been DM.
Have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.